So we are on track to meet our brood goals, and Greg and the crew has been out planting the last couple weeks into the North Santa Am. Total of 463 into the North Santa Am, 52 of those in addition to that, 52 into Horn Creek. So things are on track, no issues in the north.
I guess the only thing I have to add to that is we had some issues with screens getting clogged. I don't know. I assume you've been in the know on that, Ryan.
Yeah, I talked to Greg. I saw the email string. Yes, it's a problem. It seems to occur this time of year. I was a little bit surprised with Greg's email yesterday that it's plugging again after being cleaned on Friday. So that's definitely concerning.
Chad or Doug, I know that you guys don't typically work up in the North Santa Am, but if you guys are able to talk to Greg Taylor and follow up on that and see if we can find out when that screen cleaner might be fixed, that would be helpful.
Yeah, we'll look into scanning.
Thank you. And then I have a note here for the air compressor.
So there is an air compressor that is typically at the Minto Fish facility. My understanding, it's owned by the state of Oregon, but it's at a dam being used, and it's something that probably should stay at the facility, and it's something I've been talking to Project about, but haven't gotten any traction in terms of getting it back to the facility. So I think it's something that we need to follow up on again. And Greg Eichmann's the point of contact with the project. I know that Greg Grunbemmer has been asking about it. In case something does happen to the air burst system, it's the backup that we have for it.
I can call Eichmann, you guys, when we get off the phone.
Thanks, Doug. Right. Anything else for the North Santa Am? Any maintenance issues, operational issues that need to be brought up?
Nothing for me.
All right, moving on to the South Santa Am then.
For the hatchery, things are going well. No issues there. Production, fish health, etc. No real issues. For Foster, probably the hot topic is the lack of adult fish entering the Foster ladder. To date, we have collected some numbers real quick. To date, we have collected 119. Sorry, 119 spring Chinook. Of those, 27 are non-marked and were outplanted at the Gordon Road site. So in terms of meeting broodstock goals, we're a long way from anywhere.
Hey, Ryan, is there a bunch of fish in the tail race there, or what's going on?
It sounds like you asked me that question, I think, Lance, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. At that time I said, no, there really isn't much out there really at all. I think I was at Foster about a month ago, and the water was a little off color, but you really couldn't see any fish, nothing jumping. I talked to Brett yesterday, and he is starting to see a few more fish hang out below the dam, more than we have seen for this year, but I mean his word was, his quote was not like normal. So it's definitely not a normal run year and normal pot of fish out there. It's definitely few and far between. So there are some fish. I'm sure they'll eventually come in some numbers, but we're really, really lagging behind in the south.
Wow. Yeah, way, way behind.
Yeah.
This is Ann. Have the spawner surveys been going on at the same time, so if we know if there's a lot of spawning below there?
That's a good question. I don't know. Kelly Reese might have some information. I don't believe those have started yet. I think they're gearing up. I mean, we don't typically see spawning, you know, for another number of weeks or a month. When the spawning survey start, or if W occurs, I'm not sure. And then maybe Chris or Tammy could answer that from the contractor perspective.
This is Kelly. Typically, we start our surveys in August. Bob, when do you start your crews?
We have the crews out there right now, and we've been seeing there's been really low numbers of, I don't know if any reds have been observed in the South San Yam. A quick check on that right now with the people that are out doing QA with the contractor over.
On South San Yam Hatchery? Is there...
That's all I've got.
Anything
else? Hey, sorry, Tim. This is Bob. My people were out on the North San Yam yesterday. There was really low numbers there as well, although I think the adult numbers in the North San Yam are better than the South. But I will check through the QA reports to see what I have for documentation on the South San Yam and get back to you.
Thank you. All right, anything for Foster Fish Facility specifically?
I guess I want to mention on August 15th, we're planning on, the Corps is planning on doing a walkthrough with ODFNW for the transfer of ownership to Willamette Valley Project. I know I've talked to Ryan and Greg, and it worked for them. It was unclear whether or not it would work for Brett or not, but I just want to make sure it's on people's radar so that we can make that date happen.
And for everyone's awareness, the plan is, so Minto, Foster, and Dexter are all on the Portland, my hand receipt, my real property list, and it didn't make a lot of sense for me to have ownership of those facilities when it's the project that does the maintenance of them. So what we're trying to do is do these walkthroughs and get the project comfortable with taking ownership of those facilities and absorbing them into their normal project O&M activities. For ODFW, you really shouldn't see much difference, at least not in the near term.
All right, Tammy, does that have budget implications? Like, does it shift it from a budget you were responsible for O&M to WVP O&M?
Yes. Yeah, so right now I put it in my budget submission, and when they take ownership of it, that submission request will just move to the Valley rather than from me. And it shouldn't, I don't anticipate that there will be any risk to funding any more than there's a risk to me getting funding. It should actually probably help consolidate funds and make it more efficient, because then the Valley can, we'll have control over those funds, and we'll be able to prioritize activities and maintenance that needs to be prioritized.
So the next item in the South San Yam, I left the River Bend Adult Release Site on the agenda so it doesn't fall off the table. I know we've been talking about whether or not we want to use that site in the future and the issues with erosion and what to do about that erosion in terms of who owns it, how to fund it, all these questions that we need to address if we want to use it in the future. And I don't know if now's the time to dive deeper into that or not. I know we were talking about having Elise on the phone for that discussion, so maybe not.
And if I remember right, it is a county park, that ownership question?
Correct.
Okay.
Apparently, in the past, the county did work willingly on their own dime, actually, due to the relationship the state had with the county. However, retirements and such, they don't have that kind of connection anymore. So it's a site that we use, but there are definite issues. And we need to think about path forward and whether or not the current site that we have that's higher in the watershed is adequate, or we want to address this other site that's lower in the watershed. So.
Do Do we need a task group meeting for that?
Can we just extend the release pipe that's there? I'm assuming we use the release pipe instead of going straight to river, because the way it looks right now, there's no way a truck gets to the river, and just release that, extend the pipe past the erosion area.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, if it's that easy, someone might be able to pick that up, but if there's sufficient funding that needs to be involved, then it's okay, how do we fund that?
When we're out there on the 15th, can we take a look at that?
Yeah.
Just so I can visualize what it is.
So Chris, this is Ryan. I think Brett sent some pictures here maybe a month ago, or might have been slightly longer than that. But there is a release pipe at that site, and the bank underneath the release pipe, you know, support system is also eroding. And so it's not that simple of a, you know, add a pipe. It's due to the elevation and the drop and the erosion. That option has already been used and is failing. I do like the idea of a task group, and it'd be good to get Evelise and Brett weigh in.
Okay.
So let's plan then for the August FPOM meeting to take some time after our normal run through the agenda to discuss it a little bit more. Will that give people enough time to think about whether or not this is a site they still want to use? It'll at least give us time to go out there and take a look at current condition and try and figure out what we would need to do on the core side for getting any repairs done. We'll check with Elise to make sure it fits with her schedule too. Though it's probably back to school, it could be a challenge.
Hey, this is Lance. I wanted to go back to the grim numbers that we're seeing at Foster and just kind of see if, you know, contingency planning, what's going on with out planning, what's going on with brood and kind of planning for the rest of the season there, given the drastically low numbers. I don't know if anybody's given any thought to that, but maybe we can follow up in the next week or two with a side conference call or something to see how we want to handle that situation.
Okay. Yeah, I think those are all good questions and points, Lance. I guess you could say nice thing that the benefit in the south is that we don't outplant marked hatchery fish, and so that's that isn't a goal that's looming over our heads. We are outplanting above Foster the unmarked fish, which I think I reported was a relatively small number, 27 if I remember right, 21 I believe. But the real issue will be brood stock and what we do, assuming there'll be a shortage of adults for brood. Yeah, good question.
And so did those unmarked fish go up above? They were outplanted above the dam and there wasn't any temperature discrepancy issues, or are they on site at Foster?
Those were all outplanted. And we were able to, kind of meet those temperature requirements. But
okay.
I suspect that will likely end really soon, especially as we're seeing, I think we're supposed to see 90-degree weather tomorrow. So we'll likely hit that thermal threshold here real quick and have to hold fish.
Okay, thanks.
Before we close on the South CNA, just on the presence. The crews were out there last week, below Pleasant Valley, and they didn't see any reds or any fish in those areas. Fish being carcasses, of course.
All right, so Chris is out next week, so we can look at trying to schedule a call for the first week of August. If that will work for people.
It'd have to be later in the week for me. OCAs.
Right, and then the walk through at Leeburg.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Wednesday or Thursday? Thursday, 7:00.
Wednesday afternoons.
Or Friday. You have a Friday call. right. Anything else on the South San Diego? Let's move on to the McKenzie then.
Okay, well, our juvenile fish are doing well because they're at leeward. And our marking is complete, so all the fin clipping has been completed. That was done at the latter part of June. Looking at our water supply, things have not improved. We're getting about 15 CFS out of the canal, continue to run it down the fish ladder. We have not had a fish enter the fish ladder since the first week of July. So there's the water temps that are, I believe, affecting that. In the last 10 days, our water temperatures have peaked at 68.5 in that neighborhood three times. During that time, it cools off during the evening, but our lowest during that time has also been 56.5. So, we're just experiencing much higher water temperatures. Looking at the last 10 years, in July, we have hit 65 in two years, once during the drought year of 2015, and actually last year, too. So, but the averages for those time periods are in the upper 50s. And so we're experiencing much more warmer water. I believe that's the main reason the fish aren't entering. The river's been running about 55, 56, so they're not really wanting to come in there in that hotter water. We have collected 179 fish total, but those were all done in June. At Lieberg Trap, we've collected 103 fish, so that's been helping us get brood. We do have 130 pair as we speak, but we've had some fungus problems, so we're losing fish with that, but we hope to bring that around. We're drafting a letter to start trapping out of Lieberg Dam, and Lance, you should see that soon. Jeremy was working on it this morning. We have taken a few fish out of Lieberg Dam, hatchery fish. Now that there's less wild fish in the area. But there is quite a few fish right in the tail race on both sides near the fish ladders. So we're hoping to be able to get enough fish for brood. They mostly run the right side, right bank ladder, and that ladder we have not ever trapped out of that ladder. It's has some problems and some difficulties doing that. If we get down towards September and we're still really scratching for brood, I would propose maybe we could shut that ladder off for a couple of weeks so we can trap out of the left bank ladder and get our hands on some fish, giving them only that opportunity to travel the left bank. That's just a proposal I was thinking about. But anyway, we're still don't really have our brood yet. We really need approximately 180 pair to ensure getting a 160 female spawn, which would be the minimum to actually get our production. And that's if everything goes well, egg mortality and so on. So we're getting there, but not quite there yet. That doesn't include any outplants. That doesn't include anything that the department does above Trail Bridge. So looking for more fish would be the best case scenario to kind of get some fish above Cougar if possible, and also for Trail Bridge. We're upgrading the power supply at our intake to allow for submersible pumps. But right now, that isn't in place yet. Hopefully, it'll be in place sometime in September, but that's about as quick as this will work, getting that work done. So, we're just moving forward.
Go ahead, Tammy. Did you have a question?
No, go ahead. It's okay. I can wait.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of address McKenzie, similar to the question Lance raised on the south. So in terms of contingency and priority, unless things change here soon and drastically, our contingency or proposal would be to not outplant pasture fish above Cougar might be a valuable conversation to have. Alternatively, you know, we could look to other sub-basins as a source for outplanting fish if needed. So happy to chat about that too.
And for everyone's awareness, here at the district, we have drafted a charter to have a PDT look at the McKenzie water supply and look at what we could do to get a more reliable water supply rather than rely on the EWEB canal. That has been drafted and sent up the chain of command. It won't go anywhere though until next fiscal year, so at least not until October, just because there's no funding available at this time to even pay people to look at it. But it is our plan that hopefully in the near future we will be able to have a plans and specs for a more reliable water source. Or
that'd be great, Tammy, because looking at from the most recent communication with EWEB, it looks like they are saying the end of 2020 might be the canal might be repaired, but that's just a guesstimate on their part, I'm sure, and it could stretch out farther than that.
Yeah, and some of the rumors that we've heard is that this is just one issue, that there might potentially be other issues with that canal, so this one could be fixed, but that doesn't mean that in a year or two we won't be looking at a similar situation because there's another section that is leaking.
Yeah, I agree with you. Most recent letter I saw was talking about an area of concern above the town of Leeburg, and, you know, where they, right by our intake, just 300 yards downstream, has been their most recent area of concern. So I think there's some other areas that they have to address, and this could stretch out for quite a while.
Yeah. So when that PDT gets together with the engineers, what we're going to want to do is get NOAA Fisheries and ODFW and then our bios as well together to really talk about if we had to do something, and I don't even know if this is possible, but things to consider is if we had to draw water from the river somewhere, what would that mean? If we had to punch a well, what would that mean for attraction to the ladder? And to start thinking through what concerns you may potentially have for a water source and volume, water volume. But like I said, we won't have a PDT put together until next fiscal year, which is unfortunate, but the best we can do at this point.
Was there some consideration of a possible pump this year? But it looked, I guess my memory, that looked really expensive.
Yeah, that was really expensive, about $40,000 to $45,000 a month just to pump water. You know, and then it the flow in the canal keeps dropping. You know, the FERC isn't allowing any adjustments of the gates where water is leaking at this time, and that's the only flow that's going into the canal. We're pulling about 15 CFS out. I think there's only 10 bypassing us. And we can't, without the head, we can't get that other 10. But, you know, and FERC is pretty much voicing no adjustments to flow. You know, they don't want to see anything happening. So I feel that the next winter freshet we have, the leaking at the canal gates will be sealed. Because that happened last April when we had flooding. And EWEB took it upon themselves to open them up to get things back temperature-wise, and then FERC didn't like that. So I think that we're going to be really, really stressed to have any water out of the canal, possibly this winter. And then we can work off Cogswell Creek for incubation if we have a normal winter where we have some rains and things, because that system will charge itself up. But that being said, you know, that is a pretty reliable system, but depending on drought kind of situations, it could be difficult also.
The other issue with pumping is that while it would provide additional flow through the facility, the temperatures that Kurt mentioned earlier were really alarming, and without EWEB's ability to kind of refresh that canal, pumping 68 degree water didn't seem like a real feasible plan or an efficient way to spend money.
And as the flows drop, you know, we may not be able to get really additional flow for the fish ladder because there's just no water available. And Ryan's right, the temperatures are a huge issue.
Thanks.
We will keep this issue on the agenda to provide updates as we get them, but also I'm sure at some point we will have a task group to kind of formulate what NOAA wants to see, what ODFW wants to see, and what we can possibly provide.
Yeah, thanks for the update, Tammy. That's great news.
Well, it will be great news once we have the PDT, but you're welcome. Anything else on the McKenzie Hatchery? All right, let's move to the Cougar Fish Facility.
All right, so currently we have just over 100 adult Chinook back to the facility, non-marked Chinook. Those fish have all been double Floyd tagged and either released down at Forest Glen or recently we've just been putting them back in the tail race due to the Forest Service's habitat restoration project down below the dam there. So of those 101 fish, 31 have come back a second time, and those fish have been outplanted above the dam. The ratio of male to female is pretty much 50-50 at this point. Let's see what else. 13 bull trout so far this season, a bunch of trout. We have been talking with Kurt. If we do, we tend to see a handful of Chinook up at Cougar, so with us releasing the fish back into the tail race, that frees up a post-sort pool, so we would, in theory, be able to hang on to any hatchery fish and coordinate with Kurt to get those back down to McKenzie or Liebert for brood stock. So, yeah, that's where we are right now. That's all I've got.
So far, Chad, you're not seeing much of the marked fish, though, right?
We haven't seen any yet.
Okay. Well, okay.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I have mine, too.
All right, how about Liebert Hatchery?
I don't know if real estate was planning on giving an update or not.
Do we have anyone from real estate on the call? If not, the best knowledge that we have so far is that the lease agreement went to ODFW, but we have not received a signed copy back on August 6th, is it the 6th, whatever that Tuesday is, there'll be a team out there, and I believe real estate's going to coordinate with ODFW on this one, but there'll be a team out there to do a walkthrough of the housing. Even though you guys are going to remain at Liebert Hatchery with the funding that you've gotten and you'll have the lease agreement, due to some concerns about military housing in other parts of the country, there's a strong push to walk through and make sure that the housing that we own is safe. So we will do a walkthrough, and I expect it should be Jeremy that will probably coordinate that with ODFW.
Right, if he already hasn't.
Yeah, if he hasn't already. And then just for your guys' awareness as well, our district command will be out there on the 13th or 14th for their on-site. It's all of our corporate board and the colonel going out and taking a look at things and talking to each other and to whomever they come across. But they will be going out to Liebert to take a look at that as well. I believe our colonel wants to get kind of eyes on it so he has a better understanding of what we're talking about when we brief him on McKenzie and Liebert.
Hey Tammy, can you keep me in the loop on the date and so I can either plan to be there or at least give Eric a heads up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
We should probably send the invite for the Liebert. Do we have a calendar invite for the Liebert walkthrough?
We do.
Maybe send it to Ryan.
Okay.
All right, anything else on the McKenzie? Then let's move to the Middle Fork.
For the hatchery, I think from a fish perspective, things are going well. The only other update to mention is maybe just a recent string of break-ins and thefts. Dan's taking the lead on this, Dan Peck. He's coordinated with Oregon State Police and the county sheriff. State Police have a number of trail cams set up around the facility, but while the camera pictures haven't been able to catch a face, they did capture an image of a suspect sneaking around buildings with a handgun drawn as he's sneaking and peeking and peering. And there have been a few items stolen, and it's unclear at this point where they're accessing the facility. There's a lot of open access from both the roadside as well as the river. It's, you know, as you know, a very large facility. So we're continuing to engage and work with Oregon State Police and also trying to keep our staff safe. So we'll kind of keep you updated as things move forward there. If there's anything you guys want or need to know in addition to that, let me know. Like I said, from a fish perspective, things are going pretty well.
Is that at Dexter, Ryan?
No, that's at the hatchery.
Oh, okay. At the hatchery.
If you feel like pulling any nighttime security, Lance, let me know.
No, thanks.
I don't blame you.
Man, that's scary.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Yeah, so trying to keep folks safe, keep staff aware, but not panic. And so Dan's doing a good job of kind of balancing that. And like I said, OSP is really taking the lead from the enforcement and monitoring perspective, and we appreciate that. Adult returns to Dexter are going relatively well. To date, we've collected 2,727 adult spring chinook. Those are hatchery spring chinook at Dexter. We've also collected 128 non-marked spring chinook. Those are all being held for spawning as well, based on some, I guess, suggestions or suggestions from Lance and conversation that Lance had with Jeff Ziller. I think Jeff is also kind of drafting that letter and spawning protocol. Let's see, I think last week, I don't have the exact number, but last week Dan did start owl planting into the Little North Fork. And that's all I have for Dexter.
All right, how about Fall Creek?
Hi guys, this is Doug. Things are slowing up at Fall Creek. We're up to 229 non-marked adult chinook processed and transported there. Right now, three-quarter of the run has been male. I spoke with OSP right around the 4th of July. We've had some poaching going on up there in the upper creek. They were able to cite three people, last I heard, one of which got a criminal citation, but he had two of the chinook on the bank. Anyway, it's a notorious place. They can hide under the bridge and poach. The final number for winter steelhead at Fall Creek was 34 females, 19 males. We have seen one lamprey. He got away this year, but we have not transported any lamprey. And that's about it. Oh, here, also, we're going to be dewatering the facility next week to inspect the water supply. We're going to clean the fish out, let the facility salvage everybody, transport everybody, or release them in the tail race on Monday, and then dewild the facility for the remainder of the week. And from the last I heard, it's still a go.
Is that team last week? Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
All right, anything else on the Middle Fork? The Those were some excellent updates. Let's move on to the HGMP updates, which this probably can come off of here now that we have the biop. However, I will take a moment. Lance, you were going to do a presentation. Do you want to do that at the August FPOM meeting?
Yeah, I'd like to do that at some point. So whatever works best for everybody, just to kind of go through the assessment and the new direction in it. So yeah, I can plan on doing it next month if folks want that.
All right, and then to ensure the greatest in-person participation for that, is it more convenient if we have that in Salem?
Yeah, that would work great.
Ryan, would you be able to find us a room?
Yes, I will check and get back to you.
Okay, that'd be great. All right, how about research updates, Rachel?
So not much to report this time of year. We're in our planning phase. So concept papers are slowly rolling out. And those on the Harmony subcommittee will see some of those tomorrow, or should have already seen some of them come through an email.
Do you know when the next Bitterwick meeting is?
I should, but I don't off the top of my head.
I don't either. Don't you guys usually have them the first week of the month?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
So it's probably
Rachel, this is Ann. There's a steering team meeting on August 6th, and I just seen on the agenda for tomorrow that is expected to be the one where there's ranking, but I was going to ask everybody tomorrow and also Emily maybe today if that's a little too soon for the most recent concept papers to be ready for ranking, but something for you to think about. We can talk about again tomorrow.
Yeah, it might be. At this point, we do have some expectation that more might come out, but at this point we don't have them developed for various reasons. But we can talk about that tomorrow at the meeting.
Sounds good.
All right, did we have anyone from water management join us? Chris, can you give the water quality and flow updates?
Sure. So the only thing I have for water quality is we're observing elevated TDG below Big Cliff, at least the last I checked, as a result of the temperature management operation. Levels aren't too high. I've seen levels near 106, but I've also seen as high as 109.
Is that at Niagara, Chris?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
And that's all I have for water quality. We seem to be hitting our temperature targets fairly well in the North St. Anne, so.
Still above the spillway elevation?
Yes, we are, for now.
Cool.
In terms of the flow update, go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, Chris, Lance, quick question on, I haven't looked recently, but temperatures coming out below Foster, water temperatures, are they what they normally are, or is that causing some issues with fish migrating up to the trap and anything weird going on there?
So currently the temperature in the ladder is 52 degrees, or no, sorry, below the project is 52. I don't know or have the number of the temperature in the ladder, which would be helpful to see if there's that differential that could be causing issues. I don't know if anyone else on the line knows. Or if Ryan, if you've talked to Brett about that at all?
Not recently. I can follow up with Brett. I would be surprised if there's not a significant difference between the ladder temperature and the below the project based on what we've seen up until now. I think the last time I talked to Brett, there was a 8 degrees Fahrenheit difference between the river temperature and the ladder temperature.
Wow. But nothing management-wise on where you're pulling water out of Green Peter or anything different there?
No, that's been pretty much status quo.
Okay. All right, thanks.
On that topic, Chris, do you know or have any update on that? I think is it a PDT that's working on the foster ladder temperature stuff. Do you have any update on that?
I do not. Does anyone in the room?
Is Fenton on that?
I think Fenton's on the PDT.
Yeah, and that's Ida as well.
Ida, okay.
We can ask for an update and provide that next month or whenever.